We give you praise, we give you worship. May honor never depart from you, Lord, as our lips will sing praises unto you endlessly. May you take absolute control of all that is done in the midst of us today. May the opening of my mouth be as the pen of a ready writer. Speak truth unto us. Let us know that you are God in the midst of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Sit down and let go down. Bless the Lord forever. Bless the Lord forever. Bless the Lord forever. Somebody say hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. You know that song that says, I serve a living God, oh, even the devil say not true. Number 16. Hebrews 4, verse number 16. Please take note, when you come to church, you come to church with your Bibles. Don't just depend on the projector. Come to church with your Bibles. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? And find what? Can I hear your voices? And find grace to help in time of need. The Lord will have us to talk today on grace to help. Somebody say grace to help. This is still our month of help. And please hear this and hear me well. If grace is not present, help will not be present. It is the presence of grace that guarantees help. A person whose life is destitute of grace will never be helped. Read it again. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace. To do what? To help in time of need. Can I talk to us here? It means instead of me looking for help, I should, by the instruction of scripture, look for grace. I don't know if you catch it. guarantees help. So if I can get grace, I will get what?
Help.
So it becomes an error for my life to be graceless while I am looking for help. When you miss it, when they rush from pillar to post looking for help, because they will never get help except grace makes it happen. So why should I struggle for the secondary when I can get to the primary? And the primary will make me get to the secondary. Please look at it. The primary thing here is what? Grace. Secondary is what? Help. How can a woman be looking for a child when she has not first gotten what? Married. There can be no child except a woman is married scripturally. Am I talking now? And by reason of the man being in her life, children will come. How can I be talking about helpers if I have not gotten grace? So the scripture therefore enjoins us to boldly go to the place where we can find grace. Ah, can I talk here? Don't look for the place where you can find help. Go to the place where you can find grace. For once you find grace, help will be inevitable. Help will be the accompanying blessings. Help will become the resultant effect of what you have found, which is grace. I stand on this altar and I decree, as you will find grace, every disgrace in your life will be silenced. As you obtain mercy and find grace, every disgrace in your life shall be put to naught. God will arise to favor you by the spirit and the mystery of grace. Somebody shout, I hear you. Somebody say, grace must be found. Now please hear this. Life is not by grade. Life is by grace. This is my grade. This is my age mate or my age grade. This is what people I grew up with. Listen to me. It is not your grade that matters. It is not your age grade, your age mates that makes you grace mates. What establishes you beyond others is the grace you have attained unto, the grace you have contacted and connected to. And once you are in that dimension where you begin to operate in grace and with grace, you go beyond your level of grade and your age mates. Listen here. I have seen men who all began together but never end in the same way. Even children of the same family, same father, same mother, from the same womb, grew up in the same house. All of them, peradventure, gone through the same school, coming out being different in life. What one connected to, another might not have connected to. So you see some being blessed and others not being blessed. Some rising far above others. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by what? My spirit. And what spirit is that? Somebody say grace. Listen, the Bible says, the law came as by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So there's a dimension of Jesus you connect to. The spirit in Jesus you connect to that you catch grace. Somebody does not understand. Let me say this. Jesus has come to us manifesting different things, true or false. Now let me say this. Jesus came, brought salvation. Jesus came, brought truth. Jesus came, brought grace. Jesus came, brought eternal life. Jesus came, brought the word of God. Now hear this now. I can see Jesus and connect only to his salvation. I get saved, but I do not receive the truth that is in Jesus. Is it possible? Yes. I can get saved and do not understand the truth, which is the principles that he brings. True or false? I can get saved and not walk in eternal life. I cannot, but only receive the blessing from the area that I am connected to. That's all. Look at this. A man can be a father. A man can also be a husband. A man can be a landlord. That same man can be a boss, the chief executive in his office. Am I correct? That same man can be the one that gives a contract. This same man, one personality, but sitting in different offices, manifesting different things, and releasing different things to different people. To the wife, he is what? Husband. To the children, he is what? Father. To the person that stays in the houses that he built, he is what? Landlord. To the workers in his company, he is what? Boss. To those who come to take contracts from him when he wants to do one or two things in his office, who is he? Huh? A contract giver or a businessman I can do something with. It means when one comes and relates with him from one perspective, he gets only that perspective and goes away. But that's not all the man is. Shout it, he is more. Javaluko Dobrakadesha. Except you perceive Jesus in the light of different spectrums, you will never get the benefits that those spectrums have to release. Jesus is Savior, I know. He came with a grace that brings salvation unto all. But there is a grace he reserves for higher dimensions, for those who want to operate in the realms beyond salvation. And he says, he has not brought this grace out, he kept it. The grace for salvation, he brought it to all to see. But the grace that meets needs, the grace that helps, he says you have to search it out, find it, find it, find it. Are you seeing there? Let us therefore come boldly before what? The throne of grace, that we may do what? Obtain mercy and what? Tell him more. You must find it to get it. Find it to get it. So anybody who wants help in life to meet needs must go to the place where he can find grace, not find help. If he can find grace, help is guaranteed. And where is this grace? Somebody say, it's on the throne. The throne of God is not a physical realm. The throne of God is a spiritual realm. So the Lord is saying, until you come to that place in the spirit where you can connect with the spirit of grace, help and your needs will not be met. Help will not come, and if help does not come, your needs will not be met. So people have their needs met when they receive what? Help. People get help when they have found grace. Tap your number and say, follow the order. Follow the order. I use the story of my own life to express it. I've told us before in this house. When I had grown in life and had grown to the point where I had entered into ministry and had done ministry for some years, I found that I had the need for a car. I needed a car. I was going for ministrations in many places. I needed a car. You know, you can grow to a point where you need certain things. It was not because my friends had cars. It was because I also needed a car. So I began to look for help that will enable my need to be met. I went to my aunt that I grew up with, that I used to call mom. I stayed with her and I said, please mommy, this Passat Model T that we had in the house that nobody has been using, parked on one side of the compound, can I have it, please? She looked at me straight up and said, no, I won't give you. I begged and begged, but she refused to give me. I left her. And I went and struggled and got about 2,000 or 3,000, and I bought the empty body of a vehicle, a Ford Mustang. The engine was not there. The mechanic said I could get a Toyota engine and they will couple it, they will form it into it. I said okay. All I needed was 2,000 to buy that engine. Those days. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? I looked for 2,000 in this Benin City for 2 years. I didn't get. Did I meet people who had money? Yes. I was looking for help. Am I talking now? Help of how much? 2,000. Yet I didn't get it. I moved from person to person, place to place, asked many people, but I didn't get it. After a while, I knew something was wrong. I stopped asking men and resorted to asking God. I went into the place of prayers. As I began to pray and pray and pray and pray, in fastings and dedicated times unto the Lord. I was in my room early one morning when a phone call came through, a landline call. Then we didn't have GSM. From the other end was one of our sisters that used to be in fellowship with us years ago. She had gotten to Lagos and the brother had bought her a beautiful Honda Civic, brand new. But she had bought this brand new Passat Model TS, a better model than the one we had in the house that I went to beg my mom for. She said, God spoke to her to give me that car. I said, ah. She said, yes. She wanted to sell it to her colleague, but God said, give it to Pastor Mike. Cut a long story short. I told you how she even asked for what? 10,000 I didn't have, but God made provisions available. I gave it to her. And like joke, the car was delivered into my hands without me stressing. Why? I found grace that helped me meet what? My need. While I was going from place to place, I didn't have my need melt. Nobody may help me. But when I sought God and prayed, I found grace. Grace brought the help that helped me meet my need. I stand on this altar and I prophesy over anything and everything that starts as a need in your life. I decree you will find grace. You will find grace. You will find grace that will release help that will make your needs to be met. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, shout a loud amen. Sit down and never go down. Grace is the secret. And grace is nothing but the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Am I correct now? It's Jesus manifested in another dimension. In the corridors of the immortals, grace walks amongst the immortals, looking for men that will be able to draw from her, if I will use the word her, or from him, if I will use the word him, because I cannot tell whether grace is a female or a male. All I know that grace is what? It's a spirit. He wants to come to help you. He wants to come to help you, even under the sound of my voice. All you need to do is connect with him. Connect with him. And you will see grace manifest like never before in Jesus' mighty name. Let me explain to us different dimensions of this grace. By definition, when we shout grace, how do people define grace? Unmerited favor. Somebody say error. 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 Unmerited favor. I like to say error because of some reasons. I like to say error because of some reasons. Do you merit grace? No. So in a way, it appears to be what? Merited. I mean, unmerited, am I correct? Which means there is nothing you do to receive what? Grace. I say error because if this grace must be found, you must do something to find it. So therefore, is it merited or not merited? Unmerited in the sense that Jesus died for you, but merited in the sense that you must do something to get it. Even the grace of salvation is merited. Because yes, Jesus presented grace as himself, having died on the cross of Calvary. But will the grace be made manifest on you, in you, through you, if you do not accept it? So unaccepted grace is a grace that will not work for you. So therefore, again, if you have to look at it, you merited it because you did what? You accepted it. But when it has to do with him dying, yes, he died. You did not merit the fact that he died for you, but you merit the fact that you accept him, receive him, treasure him, and keep him. You know that the Bible says people do despite to the spirit of grace. They treat grace anyhow. And when they treat grace anyhow, grace departs from them. Because you must merit it by your actions and your reactions to keep grace in your life. Help me tell you more. Go in search for grace. Go in search of grace. Find him and keep him. Your needs will be met because helpers will be brought to you by the Spirit of grace. Somebody shout, I hear you. I like to define grace in three or four ways. Number one, God's riches at Christ's expense. Somebody shout, grace. Is that not how grace is spelled? G-R-O-A-C-E. Somebody say grace. Spell it again. G-R-O-A. What is that? That is grace. That is grace. That is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. Put it up for us. Look at it. Look at it. It says what in the scriptures? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What is that if not God's riches at the expense of Jesus Christ going to the cross? So how did God translate his riches to us? He translated his riches to us by reason of Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, that we through that channel might enter into his riches. I can't explain it, but it is so great that it makes me realize that potentially every true child of God ought to be wealthy. Every true child of God who accepts Jesus into his or her life as Lord and Savior ought to be very rich. Every true child of God that is born again genuinely ought to be, if I put it in the common sense of who a rich person is, you will say such a person is a multi-millionaire. Am I correct? Every true child of God ought to be multi-millionaires. Why? This scripture. For though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. Did he end it there? He didn't end it there. That ye through his poverty might be rich. So you use the instrumentality of his poverty to become rich. Somebody shout, exchange. And the Krukabiara. Which means he was rich and he's rich in the heavens. He became poor on earth. And he says that I came to earth to become poor. You who come to heaven, take my riches and become rich here. That is why men who are very poor, who go to do ritual, they do ritual by taking spiritual powers and forces in the spirit, bringing it down earth to earth to become what? To become rich. What God is saying is, if only you can realize and catch the wisdom and the mystery behind this exchange, behind the ability of drawing down the grace that makes men rich, you will never be poor in your life ever again. Every one of us are potential rich men and rich women. Riches are in Christ. But have you been able to access it through Jesus? Through Jesus. The Lord did not call us to be poor. He called us to be rich. I take it again through the dimension of Abraham, our spiritual father of yesteryears. Am I talking now? That the blessing of Abraham might come to who? To us. Who are children of Abraham. That is how we got linked up spiritually to become Jews. Am I correct now? In being, working with Jesus, who is the seed of Abraham, physically, we hooked up to this same Jesus, who is the seed of Abraham, spiritually. And by virtue of that, the Bible says the promise was made not unto the seeds, as in the plural, but to the seed of Abraham. And that seed of Abraham eventually became who? Jesus Christ. Now, if the blessing that made Abraham rich falls upon his son, the seed, then it means the children of the seed ought to be what? Rich. True or false? Let me tell you, as I should let you know. You and I know one of the very big men in this city. Igbins, am I correct? Now please, how would you feel to see one of the sons of this great man, very poor, walking on the streets of Benin, having no car, having no houses, not being able to travel, finding it difficult to eat? Would you ever believe that he's a son of this man? No, I'm asking, will you believe? Why? Because every son of the man ought to be what? Rich. And ought to be positioned in life. If it ever happens, it means something happened somewhere that detached him from the man, the source of his blessing. So God is saying, whenever we display poverty, whenever we display poverty, is because we are not connected to the grace of riches that came through Christ. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that grace. So one of the aspects of the grace is the grace of riches. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ had the grace that made him what? Rich. For which he was rich. Yet, he did not hold on to the riches to himself. He transferred it to us by being poor when he came to the face of the earth. That we, through that poverty, might become rich. Stand to your feet and shout, I refuse to be poor. Say it again, I, Bishop Mike Lajo, will never be poor again as long as I live. I exchange my poverty for the riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shout amen 3 times.
Amen.
Sit down and never go down. Heavy, heavy, heavy. I'd like you to know without mincing words, grace, grace will bring you to the place of honor. And I'm speaking to somebody here whose life has not been honored. You shall experience honor in Jesus' name. Number two definition is the manifestation of attractiveness. Shout grace. Grace is nothing but the manifestation of what? Attractiveness. And nothing attracts as much as the magnet. So it is the force of magnetism. Grace is a magnet. Somebody say, I hear you. Matthew chapter number 2. Reading from verse 1 to 3. Matthew chapter number 2 from verse 1 to 3. Look at what scripture says. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of who? Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from where? The east to Jerusalem. Look at what the Bible says. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And I come to worship him. We have seen his star in the east and we are come to worship him. Look at verse 9 and verse 10 and 11 of that same chapter 2 of the book of Matthew. Look at verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse number 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. I want to ask a simple question. Did Jesus send this wise man an invitation? Did Jesus tell people to go look for them? What happened? Grace attracted them. Grace pulled them from where they were, all the way in the east. And they came locating him through the instrumentality of what? Of the star. The star is nothing but a light. So in another form, grace is also light. How do I know? Light is a force of attraction. Because that, by definition, light is electromagnetic radiation to which the organs of sight responds to. Electromagnetic, which means electricity and magnetism. And it works in such a way that electricity travels from one spot to another. Magnet does what? Attracts. So there is a force that moves from where the thing is generated to locate its object, and the force of magnetism pulls the object to itself. So what did Jesus do? Who is in himself the epitome and the full symbol of grace? Where he was lying as a baby, his grace pushed out like light, located men in the east, and pulled them from the east to himself. And when they got to him, they could not help but empty their treasures unto him. I prophesy, once grace is at work, men will begin to come to you. You will not be the one going to them. There is a force and a power in you that will pull men to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout, they are coming. The force of grace is a force that is so strong. So strong. Let me explain something to us. Let me say something to us. Once a spirit is at work in it, in a particular place, it begins to manifest strangely in its own dimensions. And one of the forces that manifest close to the spirit of grace, can I tell you, from the way of the wicked, from the way of the devil, is the force of lust. The spirit of lust. Men will understand this more if they are sensitive to understand what I'm talking about. You can be walking and moving with 2-3 persons. You can come in contact with 5-10 women. As you pass them, nothing will pull you to them. You are normal when you are talking with them. But all of a sudden, you come before one and you find something within you being pulled to that person. And when it's pulling you, it's not just pulling you normally, it's pulling you sexually. That lady possesses what you call the spirit of lust that pulls you and makes you lust after her. Makes you want to come to her to have a sexual affair with her. It's a spirit of lust. Some ladies know they have it and they pride themselves in it. And they say, if I want any man, I can get the man. Because they know, Kabushia, they know they carry something that pulls men to themselves. Now, it therefore aches my heart if believers cannot develop this grace to know that they have something in them that can pull helpers to locate them where they are. Am I talking to somebody here? That you can enter into a place and you'll be the one to be singled out to be helped. Because there's a grace that moves people towards you. Not for anything wrong, but for everything good. That when they see you, they will always want to help you. Somebody say, it is grace. And some people have the spirit of disgrace, that wherever they go, they must be disgraced. They must be disgraced. They must be put to shame. Something will happen that will make somebody to speak evil of them. But in this house, we are talking about grace that will help. Receive that grace. You must find it. Somebody say, I must find it. You only find it in the place of prayers. You find it in the throne room, in the heavenlies. You find it in the place of the immortals. You find it in the place of God, the Father of all spirits. Men who find grace do not run around. They don't run around. They stay with the Lord and things begin to happen around them. Kabaradu subraka deshesh. Develeke du guru tubash. And da. Let me tell you this. Do you know many of these people who do business, they do business not normally. They do business with spirits. Make I talk? They do business with what? With spirits. When they find out that customers are not coming, they go somewhere and tell one baba, and the baba does one or two things for them, and tell them, go back to your shop and do this, or sprinkle this, sprinkle that, or bury this. And before you know what happens, customers will begin to come. They will not know why they are coming, but they will come. They will come and spend money there. They will come. Why? Something moved them to come. It's a spirit that attracted them to the place. It's a spirit. Grace works better. The enemy steals it from the knowledge of the Lord. And if we who are Christians cannot understand this, I wonder what our understanding is. Give you a small example of a story. Of men who don't know God, but use strange spirits, but they call themselves pastors. One young pastor came to meet me some few weeks ago, and we're talking. Two of them actually, supposed sons in the ministry. And one of them was giving a story of how a friend, a son of his, young boy in his 20s, early 20s, just said, I want to start ministry. You want to start ministry? You have not gone to Bible school. You have not been trained. He said, Pa, leave those things. I want to start ministry. But I don't want to start ministry for town. I want to start ministry for one of these remote places. So he carries himself off to one village. But a big town. And it goes off the main town and goes into the remote parts of the main express road, about some kilometers, that you would need to pay 150 naira to go in. Gets a land, asks who owns it. They told him he rents the land with little money and then clears it. And then he calls this his spiritual father and said, I have found a place in such and such a location. I want to start by Tuesday. But before I start, let me go somewhere first. He travels somewhere, stays for days, they give him some things, he gets back to the land, buries it in the land, and then says, sir, please, just give me small money, let me do handbill. No, not handbills. I'm sorry. Let me rent equipment. So it was the young man, the pastor, who's my son in the Lord now, that asked him, you don't go do handbill? He said, then now they do handbill again. No need for that. Who won't come for the meeting? He said, I will show you video. Tuesday evening, the people, he gathers the equipment and the people that will play inside that remote place. No handbill. Just they began to play drum, began to play what do you call it now? Small instruments that he hired. As they were playing it, people began to come. That first day, 150 people gathered in that place. Ah. The next time he met with 300 people had gathered. It didn't take 2 months. He was showing this, his father in the Lord. And then he says, I want to start Sunday service. How? He said, you will see now. Sunday service, he started. Within 2 months, he had 200 people to start with on Sunday. Before you know it, 300, 400, 500. The place was bursting with people. Without handbills. He had not been in that community for even 3 months. How did it happen? A spirit pulled the people. Don't get perturbed. Don't get worried when you see big, big churches all over the place. Most of the time, you don't know the spirit that is pulling people there. Am I talking to somebody here? I have said I will not use my hand to do anything other than cry to God to do what he will do for us. Am I talking here? But the secret is, if they did it in the way of the world, can we not do it in the way of the Lord? It would mean we need to ascend to the throne of grace. Once we hit the throne of grace and we find this grace, listen, things will be attracted to us. People will be attracted to us. Helpers will be attracted to us. Blessings will be attracted to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shout, I receive it. It therefore means our level of presence in the throne room is not strong enough. We have not found grace. That's why our lives appear to be like a disgrace. If a man finds grace, this grace will be absent. Let us come before the throne of grace. Number three, definition of grace. The force of favor. Somebody say the force of favor. Shout it again. The force of favor. Karabata kratia. Ene grutusia. Dadavushia brakadung gretesh. Zizi vakushia brakadangrate. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 21 and 22. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The force of favor is the force of excessive kindness. The force of favor is the force of unfair partiality. The force of favor is the force of preferential treatment. Somebody shout, the force of favor. Like you hear, it's not fair. Is it ever fair? You see, wherever favor is at work, somebody is preferred before others. Am I correct? Or preferred to others. Not because the person has done anything extra. It's just that that person has found favor in the sight of the person that is preferring him or her. Look at what the scripture says. The Lord says, I will give what? These people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Kabalu tupa. So emptiness is synonymous to the absence of favor. When a person is favored, the person cannot be empty. And look at the next verse, verse 22. It says, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Which means anything you ask for shall be given to you. That is the force of favor. Let me tell you, do you know that some people in this world, they go to places where they cut their tongue and they do a charm for them. And that charm is what? Anything that I ask you to give me, you will give me. They call it tokna do. If I talk it, you will do it. It will look like a joke, but people do it. They cut it in their tongues. They come to you deliberately, knowing you have this, and they will ask you for it. You will not know why you are giving it to them. But somehow, something will just compel you to give them. It might be later on somewhere in life, you will get to understand that, why did I just part away with that? It's what you call toknadu. Have you not seen these people who used to fall victim of these young men who are 419 men in one dimension? When they tell you, don't tell anybody this deal we are doing. Go and bring all the money in your house. Even if not be you, get them. You will not know what has come over you. You will go home, bring all the money and give to them. Am I talking now? And it is later when they'll begin to ask you, where is the money? You say, I give this person. Why? I don't know. Then all of a sudden your eye will be clear. And then it's like, I have been duped. All the while you were under that spell, you were beside yourself. Grace works better than that. Men will willingly offer you their services, willingly offer you your request, willingly do for you your heart desire. Why? The spirit of grace has taken over them. What under number circumstance they say they will not do, they will do for you because grace is at work. Am I talking in this house? I hear you. I hear you. Oh, Lord God Almighty. I hear you, Lord. Do you know in the day when our late father in the Lord, blessed memory, Papa Idahosa, was said to be in court and the judge vowed that he was going to put him in jail. He would spend Christmas or that period in jail, that whole week or something. And he had boasted of how he was going to make sure that Papa spent time in jail. Can I tell you this? Papa went to the court. The man went to the court. The man discharged him, freed him, and acquitted him to go. When the man got back to his office, the people who had conspired with him came to him and said, how come you allowed him to go? You struck off the case and discharged and acquitted him, and you asked him to go home free. He said, no, me, discharge and acquit him. When I get into the law court, I will judge him. I will send him to jail. They said, sir, you just came from the court. You have just asked him to go. He said, no, I have not gone to court. I am about to go to court. Grace took hold of him. He did not know himself. I prophesy over your life. Grace will silence the voice of everything that has been programmed to disgrace you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak grace over your life. I speak grace over your life. In the place of your disgrace, you shall experience grace. Shout amen three times. It's the force of favor. You will be favored. And that group about, I say you will be favored. God will bring people that will favor you. I said God will bring men and women that will favor you. Favor you in business. Favor you in life. And favor you in relationship. Favor you in what you lay your hands upon to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall be far from disgrace. I say you will be far from disgrace. If that is your portion, stand up and shout amen three times. How many of us remember Esther? Esther found favor in the sight of the king. It was a contest. How many women? Virgins all over. So what was it that distinguished her from every other woman? They were virgins. She was a virgin. They were beautiful. She was beautiful. They were all taken through the process of having to have their bath with what? With oils. She was taken through that. So what distinguished her from others? Somebody said favor. She found favor in the sight of the king. That is where this theme of programs has come out with. That's what it was. That is where this theme of programs that people do all over the place came out from. One night with the king. She only had one night to present herself to the king. One night. One night of opportunity. One night of great expectation. One night of just showing who she was. Not a night that could give her a second chance, as it were. Just one night, one opportunity. and favor hits the king over her. She found favor, and that was, the rest was history. Scripture says, the man said, it is you I prefer. I put the crown upon your head, even the crown of Vashti. Why? She found favor. Once you are favored, you'll be distinguished. Once you are favored, you'll be separated from others. Once you are favored, you'll be positioned. Once you are favored, your life cannot be like the lives of others. Shout and receive favor. All these are nothing but the manifestation of what? Grace. Manifestation of grace. The last one I want to talk about is the manifestation of pleasantness. Somebody say pleasantness. The word pleasantness is the force of attraction. I mean acceptance. The force of what? Acceptance. The force of acceptance. Once you are pleasant, people accept you. I say once you are pleasant, what happens? People accept you. Genesis chapter 33, verse 8 to 10. Let's look at it. Genesis 33. I want to show you something. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? That is Esau speaking to Jacob now. And he said, these are to do what? These are to do what? To find grace in thy sight, in the sight of my Lord. Look at it. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Verse 10. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive what? My present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I have what? Seen the face of God, and thou was what? Pleased with me. Because if you are not pleased with me, you will fight me. Was he not afraid before? Why did he send all those things? So that he will find grace. What kind of grace? Grace of pleasantness. Grace of acceptance. When Esau saw all the droves of animals that Jacob sent, was he pleased or he wasn't pleased? He was pleased. Did he fight his brother or not? He did not. Why? The brother did something that made him find grace, which is acceptance. Acceptance. Listen, people will not just accept you. You must do something to make them accept you. Grace is the secret. Do things that will make your life to be pleasant to people. And once your life becomes pleasant, there is no extent to which people will not go for you. These things do not just happen. Things are made to happen. I beg you in the name of the Lord, the season has come for every one of us to come to the place where we begin to locate grace. Locate grace. Find grace. Discover grace. Not in shallow waters, but in high realms. In the place of the other side of the divide. In the place of spiritual entities. In the place where only divinity can release it unto humanity. I beg of you, if you will spend time in his presence and find grace, your life will take upon itself a new status in Jesus' mighty name. Stand to your feet. You will never go down. As you stand, you will never fall. As you stand, you will stay standing. You will stand in life. You will stand in marriage. You will stand in business. You will stand in finance. You will stand in destiny. You will stand in every walk of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, lift your voice and say, oh Lord, help me to find grace. Prayers in the name of Jesus. Help me to find grace. 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 Help me, my Lord, to find grace. To find grace. To find grace. Zabus kabila pali gede gesh. Indu do bru do bradi gash. Ele gede gre tu kru do braka da gala kada 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 kada
I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice.
I see.
May you leave the natural and enter into the super spiritual natural.
Amen.
May you enter into the supernatural realm where grace can be found before the throne of God. May you hit your knees on the ground and transcend the natural into the supernatural. May you go away from men and begin to fraternize with spirit entities. May you come in contact with the spirit of grace. I pray you will find grace. And as you find grace, help will be released in Jesus' name. And I decree every one of your needs will be met by the Spirit of grace. In Jesus' mighty name. If you are not saved, you are not born again, I bring you to the place of salvation, where you will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because many of us come to church, but many of us are not saved yet. I pray that we'll be saved indeed. Saved to the intent that our character, our life, our nature will reflect Jesus. I ask that this be done in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Shout it out, amen. Put those hands together for the Lord as you take your seat. God bless you.